Is he off the phone now? Huh? Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our traditional pre-close briefing for the half year. I think if we start off with the 6 months, obviously it's not yet complete, and we're talking here about expectations. I think we've continued to see very strong growth from our asset management and investment platforms, and these businesses have continued to perform well and have seen strong inflows. I think in the banking and advisory businesses, the environment remains quite, or the conditions remain quite mixed. We've continued to see low levels of economic activity across most of our geographies, and we have been in what, for our type of business, quite a difficult trading environment. We expect our operating profit for the half year to be marginally higher than the prior year. Our UK business has performed particularly well against the prior, apart from the fact that we don't repeat the profits and the gains from the debt buyback, and all that income has been replaced by operating income. And the South African businesses posted a satisfactory performance. The Australian business is positive, but it's still performing below where one would expect. I think since March, we've seen our core loans and advances flat. And I think if you look at the statistics, and this is a bit exchange rate, because we are seeing some uplift in core loans and advances. So the exchange rate at the end of August was much higher than it was at the end of March, so that would really have that effect. But it's still very flat. Demand for credit in South Africa and the rest of the world is flat to, up until recently it was actually negative. Customer deposits have continued to increase. We've obviously slowed down the deposit gathering activities because we just have much too much cash. But we are still trying to diversify our customer deposit base and build the retail franchise. If you look at the average, it's up 38% in the previous year. And third-party assets under management declined marginally. Again, that would have been equity markets and exchange rate. But on average, they're up 32% on the previous year. The balance sheet, clearly, with all that's going on, remains particularly strong. I think, as mentioned, the cash continues to build. I suppose now that is no longer a good thing, because it is a good thing in a crisis, but not a good thing when you start needing to make revenue. So our strategy is diversify our funding sources, limit concentration risk, reduce our reliance on wholesale funding, continue to build our retail franchise, and reduce the cost of our liabilities, which we are seeing starting to happen. And then our core advances, the percentage of customer deposits, also is a very strong ratio in banking terms at 71.8%. But again, perhaps a little bit too strong, which says that maybe we've got a bit too much cash. Our capital ratios are healthy. You can see that we expect them to be 15.9% in Investec PLC for the end of September, and Tier 1 of 11.7, and Investec Limited 15.8 and 11.7. Now, our target, we're well within our target ratio. I think you did see in the weekend that there was a statement by the Bar Committee that announced the new capital regime going forward, which is phased until, I think, comes in finally at about 2019. There is still some uncertainty around instruments that are not common equity, and on this concept of loss absorption and what it means and what doesn't mean and what instruments will qualify. But certainly based on a very poor case scenario, we currently meet those requirements comfortably, even if we eliminate, what instruments may have to be eliminated as capital. So clearly 2019 is a long time away, and lots of things can happen between now and then, but capital is still an item that will have to be managed. It is, the requirements are much more onerous than the old requirements, even though a lot of commentators think banks got off lightly because of the phase-in. But clearly we are well placed at the moment on that front. I think credit risk is, we put a lot of effort on this front, and we are seeing some improvements. Certainly we're seeing lower levels of impairments. Our net defaults, or our actual gross defaults, still are ticking up slightly as a consequence of, it's slower to clear stuff because economic activity is still weak, We do believe this impairment cycle is turning downwards. As a consequence, we do have a lower credit loss ratio, as we mentioned at the results in March. We'd expect the credit loss ratio not to be above 0.9, and it's trading, you know, it's expected to be between 0.85 and 0.9 for this period. So this is starting to unwind, and we obviously think that we see the cycle has definitely started turning as economic conditions improve. I think we're still a lowly leveraged bank, and again, total gearing at 11.5 times, and our core loans to capital ratio about 4.8 times. So still very lowly leveraged, but obviously one wants to expand the balance sheet somewhat going forward to start taking advantage of the strong balance sheet position that we have. I think if we look at our divisions, I think if we look at the overview of the period, our recurring income as a percentage of operating income amounted to approximately 62%. Well, that's where we expected to be. In 2009 was 61. We have had a moderate increase in total operating income. Probably not that moderate, but it is a reasonable increase in total operating income, with net interest income in line with prior years. Significant increase in fees and commissions, and a decline in income from principal transactions. That's obviously off the back of the fact that our asset management business are doing a lot better, as well as we are seeing some activity in the advisory space, which didn't exist in the previous period. We have seen a substantial increase in expenses coming from the acquisition of Rensburg and Lease Direct. We have restructured our trust business. We did a strategic review some time back, and we're consolidating it all into one. We had two on the Channel Islands. We don't need two, so we're consolidating them into Jersey, and that obviously the cost associated with that. And we have had increase in headcount in some of the divisions that have been expanding their activities, in particular capital markets and asset management. And then we have had, obviously, infrastructural increase in headcount in the centre. So growth in expenses has exceeded growth in income, which would cause a rise in our cost-to-income ratio, and this ratio does remain within our target range. I think, again, if we look at Investec Asset Management, and it has continued to have a solid long-term performance. It saw net inflows for the period to August of about £1.5 billion, and its funds under management were stable because equity markets had come off a bit. But very strong performance, and you can see that the average assets under management are up significantly. It's the average that really drives performance. So it continues to show very good growth. Private wealth, we're still coming up with a new name for this, but this is what we're calling it for the time being. It's performing ahead of first half 2009. It's got higher average funds under management. Since March, the funds under management are down 4%, mainly, again, equity markets and currency, but the average is up 22%. You're well aware that we completed the Rensburg deal at the end of June, and we've already integrated the private bank wealth business with what used to be called Investec Securities. That has been done. Rensburg, we are busy doing the same thing in the UK. It's not quite finished yet, but we're well on the way to integration. And obviously, the acquisition of Rensburg was a very easy integration for us because, it was quasi part of the group prior to us owning 100%. I think on property activities, not that much to say. We've had a good performance from our investment portfolio, and we're still in the process of trying to build our property funds. In the private bank, I think this is where we have clearly been mostly impacted still, because the conditions are still fairly tough for this business, and there are still low levels of operating activity, but we are seeing an improvement on the lending side, certainly in the individual space, where demand for credit has picked up and is starting to pick up. South Africa is performing ahead of the prior year as a result of improved margins. Impairments are still flat in the private bank, and the UK results have been impacted negatively by the cost of reorganising and restructuring the trust business. So loans were down. Again, I think that is all currency, down 12.7 billion, but average up 11, and deposits again were up as a consequence of a continued retail strategy. So, again, private bank is where we're struggling at the moment, but, you know, clearly, as we move beyond the impairment cycle, things will start improving a lot for that business. The investment bank is seeing an improvement in levels of activity. It's not yet fully reflected in earnings. You know, you get stop-start conditions, but there is a lot more going on, and our people are very busy. And our conditions for the institutional stockbroking business were very tough up to August. I think we would have seen a lot of improvement in the last week or two, but certainly up to August, they were particularly tough. On our principal investment activity, we're performing marginally ahead of last year in South Africa. In the UK, there's a significant improvement over the previous year. Our consolidated investments are still loss-making and performing in line with the prior year, but our other investments have performed significantly ahead of the prior year. In capital markets, we've had an exceptionally strong performance in the UK. We expect a good performance both in South Africa and Australia. We are seeing good activity in this business across both the advisory and structuring businesses. I think strong activity in principal finance, structured finance, and structured equity derivative businesses. So, it's still quite tough to lend money here. Certainly in South Africa, corporate demand for credit is exceptionally flat. Outside of South Africa, there is, you know, I think better activity in this particular space, but it is tough to lend money in this environment at the moment. And it is again very, very price competitive. If we look at the other activities, I think our central funding, we'll see significantly behind 2009, and that would be two factors. Again, interest rates are lower, and so our reinvestment rate is lower, and our equity markets were much stronger, relatively speaking, the first half of last year than this year so far. Clearly, in the UK, we didn't repeat the profits from the debt repurchase program that took place at the end of July, August last year, and therefore that income is not reflected in these results. And then we have, on the central cost side, had numerous brand-building initiatives which have increased our central costs, and that's part of the strategy to build our brand and to position our group appropriately for the future. So, on the effective tax rate, that also gone up from 18% to 23%, and our weighted number of shares have gone up as a consequence of some shares that we've issued, as well as the Rensburg transaction, to about 741 million. We will have a substantial and exceptional gain on the acquisition of Rensburg, because accounting treatment says that you have to remark the acquisition at the price that you paid for the minority takeout, or the remaining 53% to that value, and as a consequence, there's a £71 million gain which will be reflected in the income statement. So, overall, our profits continue to be underpinned by a good recurring revenue base, and we've had a strong performance from our non-capital intensive businesses, as well as a very strong performance from our capital markets business. There has been a moderate build-up in levels of activity in our other banking businesses, but still at below normal type levels. I think clearly weak economic growth continues to affect demand for credit and levels of our transactional activity, and you know, performance going forward will still depend on how the economy actually rolls out. So if you add all this together, what does it mean? I think it will mean that operational earnings per share will be down on the previous year, and mainly because of the debt buybacks not being repeated and a higher tax rate, partially offset by lower levels of impairments and much stronger performance from our operating activities. Basic earnings per share will be up substantially as a consequence of that accounting gain. So overall, a mixed performance, some signs out there that life is getting a lot better and that activity levels are improving, But it is very stop-start, and hopefully the economies of the world will start getting traction, and that there won't be any of these double-dip stories coming home to roost. There's a lot more optimism out there at the moment, and obviously you need that thing to be, that situation to really be sustained. But certainly I think the business is in good shape, and life going forward I think will be much better than the last couple of years, because it has been a particularly tough period for financial services institutions. So thank you very much, and I'm here available for questions. We can start in London.
Any questions? Oh, Mr. Hamilton. Stephen Jones.
Good morning. Could you comment on what the sort of desired level of customer deposits to customer loans is? And you mentioned that you might be increasing the asset side of the balance sheet. I was just curious as to how much of the change in the ratio will be down to lower levels of recruitment of retail deposits or deposits in general versus additional assets on the balance sheet.
Well, yeah, look, you've also, you know, we probably about 80% is a very good ratio. I think most banks in the world are above 100%, so their loan deposit ratio at about 80%. But you have to balance that against the new liquidity regime. I mean, obviously, it only comes in 2015, but you know, you have to start preparing for that, and therefore we have to change the mix of our deposits. So we will continue to diversify our deposit base, although certainly in London and Australia, we meet the even the most strenuous of liquidity requirements that were proposed on the, under the original Bar regime. South Africa has a different structure, deposit structure, so we would not have met those requirements in South Africa. But clearly this, you know, as we move towards 2015, we're going to have to continue to modify our approach to make sure that we comply comfortably, although, as I said, in London and Australia, we already comply very, very comfortably. So I would say that you know, somewhere in the 80s is the right number for us, depending on our deposit mix.
The right number for us, depending on our deposit mix.
And how do you get there? More assets or less liabilities?
I think as I said earlier, we will continue to diversify our deposit base. So it's important for us to continue to change the mix over the long term, and I would guess that we would be seeing asset growth to get there. And that's what we'd look for, some form of asset growth to get there. I mean, you don't want to chase customers away.
Any more questions? No? Okay. Stephen, that's all.
Okay. Ruby?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kossoff. I'd like to follow up on the question from London. This refers to your slide number 6, in which you state that core advances stand at 71.8%. Obviously, that's at the end of August.
Yeah.
Now, as you yourself mentioned, compared to your peers, that's a very, very low number. South African banks are anything between 80 and over 90%. But it's the word core that I wish to emphasize.
Yeah.
Had you taken out core, would that advances percentage have increased? And could you couple that with a footnote which says that this excludes own originated assets which have been securitized? And those that have been securitized, do I understand that those are off balance sheets?
Well, they're on balance sheet, but the funding is off balance sheet and mostly matches the term of the asset. So, you know, it's a separate form of funding, therefore you can't mix the two things up. So securitized assets are different to assets that you're carrying on your balance sheet, because your funding has moved. It still has to be consolidated.
Yeah.
If you hold a piece of the pie, which we always hold the equity piece or the first loss piece, because you know, we want to earn the excess spread. But the funding is matched, so that's why you eliminate it. But it would change the ratio slightly, but not materially.
Right. And the first part of my question, if you leave out core from your statement about the advances, would that increase the 71.8% percentage?
Yeah, it would change slightly.
It will change,
yeah.
Only slightly?
Yeah.
Okay.
A few percent. It was not material.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
Sorry, Stephen, just a question on your capital. The capital you raised recently, the comment in the announcement was that you're looking to deploy that into various opportunities. Just wondering if you can give some clarity on what specifically you're seeing, and then tying that into your total gearing ratio, which is 10.7 times now, just an indication of what you'd think, a through-the-cycle normalized level that you'd be targeting would be, whether you're looking to gear up going forward
we're certainly looking to gear up going forward. I think you do see quite a lot of opportunities out there. They're not all appropriate for us, so we do odds and ends. But we're certainly looking to gear up. I think at the moment we are under-leveraged. And that is a consequence, obviously, of the cycle one has been in. And the uncertainty around the capital regime one is going to have to confront. But as these issues, as this situation becomes clearer, then we will be able to give you more clarity on exactly, you know, what our target capital ratios are under the new regime. I mean, even though you've had the Ball announcement, there's still a lot of uncertainty on some of the instruments that were historically regarded as capital for banking purposes, because they've got this concept of loss absorption. So those issues are not resolved, and there's still a lack of clarity out there. But certainly in trying to answer your question, I mean, we do intend to expand the balance sheet. To sit with that low level of gearing is not where we want to sit. We want to see some expansion in the balance sheet. Now, you need economic activity to improve for that, and we do believe it is starting to improve. We can see levels of activity picking up, and we can see that at these low levels of interest rates, demand for credit is going to start picking up. And it is picking up in some of the consumer spaces, and that will start flowing over in time to where we operate. So, We want to have the capability of doing things, and that's why we did that.
So, Stephen, I'm just wondering if you can give an indication of the actual level of, you know, I mean, historically it's sort of been a 12 to 14. Is that sort of the range that you guys would generally be comfortable with?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
Because if I had an observation.
Yes.
I'm a Merseyside supporter.
Yeah.
Are you expecting me now to change loyalties?
Your Tottenham jersey is waiting for you outside.
Okay.
Stick on. I'll throw that question to my colleague Bernard, who's also a Merseyside supporter, who was the prime motivator of the Tottenham sponsorship.
Thanks for that.
Now he's able to put aside his personal situation and say what's good for the organisation. More questions? Is that it? Okay, Louis's not here today. Thank you. Thanks very much for attending, and anyone who wants to ask me anything privately, you're welcome. I've got a few minutes. Okay, thanks, London. Thank you.